Hello, church family. This is Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. My prayer today is that this word encourages and deepens your faith. Again, thanks for tuning in.
In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21, so if you're not there yet, go ahead and turn over to Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. Now, I minister out of the King James Bible, the 1611 King James. I like this unaltered copy of the word. One of the beauties of the King James is when a word is added, it's italicized so that you know it was not in the original text. I don't like modern versions where a man read it and rewrote it to simplify it. I might have missed something with all your changing of that. So I'm a minister of the old 1611 King James. Take it, you know, leave it, that's the way it is. Now, as a study tool, though, I love the Amplified Bible, because the Amplified Bible takes the King James text and it'll translate words. It will amplify the text. And so it's a great study tool. And here's a case in point where I love what the Amplified does. And I want to read what it says here in verse 21. It says this: many plans are in a man's mind, but it is the Lord's purpose for him that will stand. Many plans are in a man's mind, but it is the Lord's purpose for him that will stand. So God's saying you can have many plans. You can have many plans, but it's my purpose that will stand. That's what he's saying here in Proverbs 19. Now, with that in mind, let's go over to the New Testament, Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. Let's just talk about this for a minute. There are many plans in a man's mind, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Is there anybody here that can say, my life has not gone exactly like I had planned? Or could you say the last year did not go exactly as I had planned? Or could you say the last 3 months have not gone just like I had planned? I think all of us can relate to life not going like we planned it. There are plenty of things that happen in our lives that we can say, I did not plan on this happening. I did not see this coming. I didn't plan on this. That might be your third child. Whoop, there it is. Yeah. We got a baby here. We didn't plan on it, but praise be unto God, here she is. And then you go in there and have the ultrasound and find out there's two of them in there. Hey, we really didn't plan on this. So life has a way of giving us things that we didn't plan. Can you say amen to that? I think everybody here can relate to that. I know there's some people that are very strategic and are great planners. My wife is a great planner, especially when it comes to everything. She's a planner. She's the most prudent, foresighted person I have ever met. My wife, I kid you not. And you might be here today and you planned your life and you planned everything about your life and everything is going just as planned. And I say to you, praise God, happy for you, clapping for you. But that ain't me. No, there have been plenty of things I didn't plan on. There have been some things I planned on that didn't happen. And there were some things I didn't plan on that did happen. I think all of us can relate to a degree. Amen. Now, I want to show you something here in Romans chapter 8. Because what I want to do today in the Word of God is give you hope by His Word and just build up your trust that even when things are not going as planned, God can have His way. It don't have to go like you planned it. Your plans being disrupted do not take God off the throne and do not change His purpose in your life. We've got to get out of this mindset that because this didn't go as planned or we weren't planning for this, that now the whole thing is shipwrecked. I'm here to tell you that God is too big to let even the thing you planned on not happening to disrupt His ultimate purpose for our lives. That's why we got to go to Romans chapter 8. When you get there, say amen. Amen. Now let's look at it in verse 28. Verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to His what? purpose. God said, I'll make all things work for my good. I'll make all things work toward the purpose that I have for your life. Now, that's comforting. That's comforting. Because there are plenty of things that I've seen in my life that didn't go as planned, but I'm grateful to know that God is saying you might have had many plans, but at the end of the day, my purpose is still going to stand. Hallelujah. Now, you really can't appreciate what verse 28 says until you back up into verse 27, and I could even go back even further, but I think we can get there by just backing up one verse at a time. Verse 27 says, he that searcheth the hearts, he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Let's read that, just that part out loud together. Read it slowly. Ready? Read. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is it, the mind of the Spirit. What does that mean? He that searcheth the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. He is saying that I know what's in your heart. I know the plans of your heart. I know the ideas, the visions, the strategies, the hope that you have in your heart. But he's saying, I also know the mind of the Spirit. See, God has a will and God has a purpose for our life. But what's going on in our heart does not always agree with what's within his will. And so we need some reconciliation. All of us need this reconciliation. God, reconcile what's in my mind to what's in your will. Because sometimes, many times, a lot of times, what's in our mind is not in line with what's in his will. And God's saying, I need what's in your heart to be in line with what's in my will. I need that to be reconciled. Now, so what does God do to make that happen? The next part of the verse says this in verse 27. Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit makes intercession for me. The Holy Spirit makes intercession for you. That's what the previous verse is saying in verse 26, that the Spirit knows my weaknesses and the Spirit prays prayers for me that I could never begin to pray, because that prayer is based on knowing the will of God, knowing the heart of God, and seeing what's in my heart. If you're one that writes in your Bibles, I would encourage you to write next to that verse, Hebrews 7:25. Hebrews 7:25. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 says this, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. So what's that verse saying, Hebrews 7:25? It's saying that Jesus intercedes for us, that he prays for us. And according to these verses, what is he praying? He's praying that the plans of my heart be reconciled to the purpose of God's will, that there be a joining together of God's purpose and my plan. So that takes us back to what Proverbs 19:21 says. There are many plans within the heart of man, but it is the purpose of God that will stand. Now, you know, when I don't know about you, but I'm going to confess my own weakness, because the word says if we confess our weaknesses, we'll be healed. So I'm going to confess my little message to you today. I'm not the biggest planner. My wife's much stronger about planning than me. I am a visionary. I do love to see the future through the eyes of faith and claim his word over my life and over my future. I'm all about vision and faith, but I'm not necessarily always the best planner. Now, my wife is, but not me. But I can say that when I do have a plan, I'm not the best person when that plan doesn't go according to what I thought it would. Are y'all with me here? It can be little, it can be big. Today it was big. It was a big issue. Let me tell you what the big issue was. I had set this suit out. I set this suit out. Actually, last week it's my number two suit. But this week it became my number one suit. And so I had the shirt hanging and the suit hanging, had it hanging in my closet since yesterday. I kind of do that so I can look at it and examine it. And if it passes the 12-hour test, I'll go ahead and put it on. And so I'm putting my suit on, got my pants on, as my daddy said, got my britches on, and I sat down in this little chair in my closet, and I reached in my sock drawer because I knew exactly which socks that I needed to wear today, because believe it or not, I have preaching socks. Y'all laughing, but I'm being very real. I've got these certain socks I wear. They're kind of thick. They give me support because I'm bad to stomp, so I need that extra cushion. And they're real, you know, the elastic is strong. They stay up on my leg. I can stomp and dance and clown, and they don't slide down my little ankles. You know, I can't have all that. I don't like a thin sock, you know. No, I need a thick, good, heavy sock. And, man, I got some favorite socks. I can't tell you what kind they are because I want you to go buy them all up. So I have these certain socks. I only wear them when I'm preaching. And I went and I pulled out my sock that I knew would fit this suit perfectly. And I reached in the sock drawer, and it wasn't but one sock. I was like, oh, no. It wasn't but one sock. I was like, what happened to my other sock? And I'm digging all through the drawer, already running late, and I'm digging through trying to find that other sock. I couldn't find it. I'm like, oh, goodness. But I saw a package of brand new socks that would work. But I'm like, no, I ain't ready for them yet. I need these socks. Because this suit really is not black. It's kind of charcoal. And I knew I had some socks, come on somebody, that would fit this suit perfectly. So I finally dig into that second drawer and I looked around and glory, glory, hallelujah. There was that sock. And I got that other sock and I put that thing on. I said, glory to God. I had no idea what the rest of my morning would hold. Just that almost messed me up. Who did what my sock? What happened to my other sock? Did the dryer eat it? What happened? When we get a plan, when we get a plan, it's like waking up in the morning knowing you're going to eat Frosted Flakes. You wake up and you know you're going to eat some Frosted Flakes, and then you just got to taste all that sugar, and you know I'm going to eat some Frosted Flakes. And you go in the pantry in the fear that your kids have ate them all up. And you open up the pantry door, and lo and behold, oh, hallelujah, there's some Frosted Flakes. And you're so excited because you didn't want Cheerios. You need the sugar of the Frosted Flake. So you go to the table, and you set it down, open up the refrigerator, and no, he didn't. Yeah, he did. Put the milk carton back in there empty. You have no milk. It don't matter if your wife came in there and cooked hotcakes, pancakes, flapjacks, whatever you want to call it. No, there ain't no milk. No way. I don't want nothing sweet without milk. And now your whole day is messed up because it didn't go as planned. We all face big things, little things that don't go as planned. And if we're not careful, they begin to wreck the whole picture. I just gave you my Frosted Flake and sock story to help you understand what I'm trying to say to you. Can anybody relate? Planners get anxious. Write that down. Planners get anxious. When you're a planner and things don't go like you planned, you get anxious. Am I alone? Can anybody say amen to that? Planners get anxious. Folk that don't have a plan, that don't know what they're going to do today because they don't do nothing no way, they ain't ever anxious about nothing. But when you got to plan your day, plan your week, plan your month, plan your year, plan for your child's education, plan for that family vacation next year, when you're a planner, the least little thing will disrupt that. So last week, stay in Romans 8. So last week, we talked about timing. Because Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, to every purpose, there is a time. To every purpose, there is a time. Say that out loud. To every purpose, there is a time. God is saying on the authority of his word that it can't have a purpose and it not have a time stamp. That to every purpose, there is a time. Say it again. To every purpose, there is a time. It can't have purpose and not have time. There's a time for it. But planners can get anxious even when our plans are not happening like we thought they would or when they should. I thought I would have been married by now. I thought I would have had kids by now. I thought I would have bought a house by now. I thought I would have been out of debt by now. I thought I would have had a job by now. I thought I would have graduated by now. Am I talking to anybody? Well, I'm ministering this word this past Wednesday at our middle high school chapel on this campus. Middle high school are 7th through 12th graders. And we're in here in chapel on Wednesday, and I was ministering the same word about timing and purpose. And I went to Galatians 4. And I showed the students that Galatians 4, verse 1, I got a lot to share today, so some of these verses I'm going to throw at you, and you got to write them down, other ones we're going to turn to. I went to Galatians 4, and I said, listen, guys and girls, the Bible says here, and it says it clearly in Galatians 4, 1, that even an heir, maybe this thing, the heir of the family business, maybe the heir of the kingdom, even an heir, has to stay under tutors, teachers, guardians, parents, authority, until the time appointed of the father, which means the child that is an heir, even though he or she is the heir, they're treated just like any other child until the father says they're ready. Are y'all with me here? And so God, our Father, knows when we're ready for something. Even when we think we're ready, he knows when we're ready. Can you imagine our audacity to ever go to God and say, okay, Lord, I'm ready now. How can you tell God you're ready for what you don't know will happen? Because I don't know what tomorrow's going to hold. I don't know what next week is going to hold. Next month is going to hold. I don't know what next year is going to look like. So how can I look at my future and tell God I'm ready? No, I need him to speak to me. I need him to order my steps. I'm not wise enough. I'm not powerful enough to ever tell God I'm ready. Have you ever heard the story of the prodigal son? Did you know he had a brother? Because we put so much emphasis on the prodigal son when we read that story. But I want to talk just for a second about the prodigal son. The prodigal son was an heir. And he went to his father. And he said, Father, I want everything that I have coming to me now. I want everything that I've got coming to me. Give it to me now. And the father gave it to him. Matter of fact, he gave both his boys the inheritance. And the boy took everything he had coming to him and took off. He gone. And he spent every dime. He ran his inheritance into the ground. Why? He wasn't ready for it. Sometimes we go to God and we say, I'm ready for all you've got for me. And God can't give you everything he's got for you because it would ruin you at that moment. You're not ready for it. You think you're ready, but you're not ready. I've been there and done that many times where I thought I was ready for something that I really wasn't ready for. That's why God will keep you in small rooms. He keeps you in small rooms to make big mistakes. Small rooms are meant for big mistakes. God can't put you in a big room to make a big mistake because a big mistake in a big room could ruin you, but a big mistake in a little room could help you. So God knows how to navigate our path to get us where we need to be, when we need to be there. But so many of us get anxious because it's not going according to our plan. But God knows what's best. He knows how our steps need to be ordered. He knows what needs to happen. So you might say, okay, Lord, it's February and I'm ready. And God said, no, actually, you won't be till July. So watch this, watch this, watch this. I know we're in Romans 8. I'm about to go there. I'm about to go back. So watch this, watch this. It's February and you're saying, God, I'm ready. And God said, no, actually, it won't be till July. That means March, April, May, and June are not according to plan. We have to be willing to accept there's going to be plenty of things happening in our life that's not going according to plan. And if we're not careful, we'll look at what folk are doing and blame them. You're the reason I'm not where I need to be. If we're not careful, we'll look at our bank account. You're the reason I'm not where I need to be. If you're not careful, you'll look at your job. You're the reason I'm not where I need to be. If you're not careful, you look at the city and say, Shreveport, you're the reason I'm not where I need to be. Or you might even blame God. You're the reason I'm not where I need to be. My plan isn't happening, Lord. But at the end of the day, God is saying, your plans were your plans. My purposes still stand. And just because things didn't go according to your plan doesn't mean I've changed my will. Doesn't mean at the end of the day my purpose won't stand. This may be hard for you right now, but I assure you in about 15 minutes when this message has gotten toward the end, you will be rejoicing in where this word is going because God has not forsaken you. God has not forgotten you. No matter how difficult it may look, no matter how bad it may seem, he is faithful to his word, and there is a coming a day when it will all make sense. Sometimes you have to walk it before you can look back and see the Lord was in it. Now watch this in Romans 8. Because he says here in verse 27, He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what's in the mind of the spirit. Just because it's in my heart doesn't mean it's in God's. But I can trust in verse 28 that all things are working for the good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Now, with that in mind, I want you to turn back to the Old Testament, the book of 1 Samuel chapter 30. And it's about to all come together and make sense. Go with me to 1 Samuel chapter number 30. See, God's got to reconcile what's in my heart to what's in his will. Therefore, I can't judge my life by what he's doing in another's. Church folk need to hear that. We're so bad at looking at what's going on in somebody else's life and then wondering why they are where they are. Well, why is he doing that? Who is he to be doing that? I should have been the one doing that one right there. No, you don't know what's in the heart of God. You don't know what he's doing. You can't judge what God is doing in your life by what he's doing in another. Last week, I gave you an example of the three baby goats. I call it the goat parable. My wife raises these little mini goats, and our first goat that we ever bought, her name is Granby. Granby has some babies. And we had just come back from Granby, Colorado. That's why the goat got the name Granby. We tend to name goats after where we've been. We bought our second goat after coming back from a mission trip in Jamaica. And so we named that goat Irie. Irie means everything gonna be all right. Go to Jamaica, everybody say, Irie, Irie. Irie means everything, every little thing gonna be all right. And so Granby had these babies, 1, 2, 3. And the first one came out, and it was limp and real little. I mean little. And the thing was little. And then just lay there, I was like, oh my. I walked in, right after the baby was born. Chrissy's in there. She's a prenatal nurse. She can handle all that kind of stuff. I can't handle all this kind of stuff. But I was curious. And I went and looked, and baby, she's holding a little baby. I'm like, ooh, you know, I wanted to say that thing gonna die. But I wasn't gonna say that. The spirit of faith rose up in me, and I kid you not, if she were here, she'd testify. I looked at that goat and I said, you shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. And all of a sudden the boat went, ee! I was like, hey. I saw his little belly starting to move because she couldn't get it to breathe. And then it started breathing. I said, hey. And the little goat for 2 days couldn't walk. What's crazy, the other two goats came out, and I'm kidding you not, they come out and immediately hopped them on their feet and went straight to the pap and started eating. I said, now I know evolution is a lie. Only God could create an animal to come out the womb and go straight to the pap. I mean, how did the little goat don't know the food is on the ground? How did the little goat just came out the belly know where to go? Well, because the one little goat came out and wasn't completely formed and mature, the mother ended up rejecting it because she didn't see it as her own because it wasn't able to nurse, and she didn't even see it as her own. So we got another kid in us. Here's my point. It was the firstborn goat, but the last one to walk. The firstborn goat, but the last one to suck on the pap. It was the firstborn goat, but it's half the size of the others. You can't judge your life by other goats. You can't judge. You can't look at somebody else's life and say, well, they're only but 22. I'm 32. I should be doing this before they're done. You can't judge somebody else's life by what God is doing in your life. God knows your spiritual, emotional, physical, mental maturity, and he knows when you're ready for something. And just because you're older doesn't mean you're wiser. God's got a master plan. And I cannot judge what he's doing in my life by what he's doing in another person's life. Hallelujah. God knows when I'm mature enough. Quit telling God you're ready. Would you please, I'm begging, quit telling God you're ready. Unless it's salvation, don't tell him you're ready. If you're ready to be saved, please tell him, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. You can be like T.D. Jakes on that one. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. If you're ready to get saved, get ready. But don't tell God what you're ready to do when you don't even know what tomorrow's going to hold. The first beatitude that Jesus gave from the Sermon on the Mount is Matthew chapter 5. The first one says this: blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. The word poor there is translated beggar. Blessed are the beggars of spirit. Theirs is the kingdom. When it comes to the things of God, I am a beggar. I am poor. I don't have anything. I don't know anything. I am nothing without him. I am a beggar. Lord, if you don't empower me, I can't do it. If you don't provide, I can't make it. If you don't impart, I can't do it. That's beggar.
I want to thank you for tuning in to today's message on our podcast. If this word encouraged you, visit our website at wogm.com for more information and resources. I'm Pastor James McManus. Have a blessed week.